So the topic for today is Bittul Barov Vayavish Vayavish. We know that if you have three pieces of meat, two are kosher, one is treif, so we have a concept of Bittul Barov that allows you to eat the meat. Now, the Gemara tells us a number of places that there's a concept of Bittul Barov. Like, for example, Chulin Tzadi Tezon Beis, and many places, but the Gemara never explains explicitly why you're allowed to go Basarov. So one understanding is to say that it's part of the general halacha of Azlino Basaruba, right? Just like you have a Bezdin, so you paskin based on Rov Dayanim, so too you can paskin based on Rov, and you can be matched to the Tarov. Now the obvious difference between a classic case of called a Parish Muru Parish and this is that here it's not Parish, meaning you don't have, you know, if you took one piece of meat out of Terovitz, I'll say, well, that piece of meat is kosher, because there were three pieces, two were kosher, so I took one out, that one's kosher. As we'll see soon, it could be you're allowed to eat the entire Terovitz, all three of them, maybe even in one sitting. So the source of Azlin Vasaruba might have some limitations to it, in that generally the concept of Rov goes together with called a parish miru parish. Since it's parish, you took one piece out, so called a parish miru parish. It doesn't necessarily affect the entire tarovis. So you have to do some explaining. You could say that we look at this tarovis as if it's not a tarovis anymore. We don't look at it as a tarovis. We look at it as if there's three separate pieces here, and therefore, you know, you can eat them all. I'll have to explain that as well. Or you could say that the concept of bittul somehow is stronger, and it allows us to, you know, eat all three. So again, one mahalach is to say azlina basaruba. The other mahalach is to say that no, this is a different halacha. This is something that changes the status of the aser piece. You have three pieces: two are kosher, one is aser. And the fact that there's rov here, you know, the fact that there's bittul rov is mevatel the status of that aser piece. It becomes heter. It's mishapech leheter, and the Rishon discusses chakira explicitly in regard to the question whether or not you can eat all three pieces at all, and if you can eat them, can you eat them in one sitting? So I wanted just to begin with that machlokas Rishonim to flesh out the chakira, and then we'll bring some nafkaminas. So the Rosh is famous to have said, it's Perek Zayin, Simen Lamed Zayin, that the way Bittul Barov works is that the heter is nepach, the Israel is nepach leheter. He writes, Elam Yishum de Gzeres Akasuhu de Chsiv Achron Avahatos, Hilga Chad Betray Batel, Venepach Israel Yos Heter, Umutel Lachon Rafil Kulakachas. It's Nepach Israel Yos Heter. So he quotes the source of Lina Basaruba, but the way he quotes the source of Achron Avahatos, which is the same source, but the way he interprets it is that it's Namish Nepach. It's Namish Nepach. Now, you could understand the Rosh as a magical, you know, a magical way, that the Rosh is telling you that it was Aser, now poof, it becomes Mutter. The way I once heard Ruzlai explain it is that no, it's not that they were saying the piece magically, you know, turns from Iser to Heter, but we have to define the Tarovis. We have a pot, and the pot has three pieces in it, or a plate with three pieces on it. We have to define it as a Tarovis. And therefore, we draw a circle around the Tarovis, and we say, since Rov of it is Heter, we'll say Alpidin is all Mutter. Not, and that's going to, we'll see soon, that might be helpful in understanding things like Chazer Meneir, etc. But either way, the Rosh is one understanding, and that is that really the Iser is Nepach, either magically or formally, the Heter. It's Nepach the Heter. Now, the Rid, in Babatzel, Amar Alef Beis, the Maskel Shtei, argues, and he claims that it's Aser for one person to eat all three. The Rosh holds, since it's Nepach, one person to eat all three, even at one time. Whereas the Rid says, no, one person can't eat all three at all. And even if you eat them separately, it's us. Because if he eats all three, even if he eats them in separate meals, he's going to be inevitably eating Iser. And that would be that would be Aser. He writes the following. In this Arba Chatik Achatz Shalchel V'Shtayim Shal Shuman, he betele v'rov, mutul al adam likach es achatz mehen v'la'ochla, devasa ruba azlina. We go basar ruba. Even though three people can eat these chatichos separately. Imadim echad achal shloshan. If one person ate them, maybe chatas. Sherei beveirur achal chaticha shel chaylev. If one person eats all three, and one of the pieces is chaylev, which is a chi of karet shubezi, the chatas b'shogeg, that individual is chay v'chatas. So the Riyad seems to understand this halacha based on, you know, the classic Aslina Basarupa, that it's based on Rove. And then what emerges is Isser is still here. Just every time I pick up one piece, I can say that piece is Heter. If you eat all three, you'd be Chayav Chatas. Now, the Rashba in Torah Zabayis, in Dalet Aleph, page Yudzayim Aleph, assumes that one person can eat the entire tarobas, but just not at the same sitting. He has to eat one for breakfast, one for lunch, one for dinner. And the question becomes, what does the Rashba hold fundamentally? Is he more similar to the Rosh? It really holds, really up, he did his napach, it's just, it doesn't look good to eat all at once. Or does the Rashba hold, you know, fundamentally, like the Rid? That really, the Isser is still here, and therefore you can't eat them all in one sitting, but if you eat them in separate times, you somehow can ignore, you know, the previous meal and allow you to eat it. The Pashas of the Rashba is that the Rashba really holds like the Rosh. This is how the Taz understands, the Primogadim in Yoredeya, Kuf Tes Aleph, in the first Mishra Sazov, understands the Rashba and the Bach. The Bach says, it's just a Chomer not to eat them at one time, but really, in Iker Adin, it's Mutter. But the Rav in the Shiurim, page Shin Chav Ches, quotes his Medakin Agra, Kuf Tes Hei, who assumes that the Rashba learned fundamentally like the Rid, that's a Din D'Oraisa. You can't eat all three in one sitting, it's a Din D'Oraisa. So again, I think the Pashas of the Rashba is really a Chumra, Bahama, that's what the Pripukadim says, and Zbach and others. I think it's Haz as well. But there are some, the Gra, who might have understood that the Rashba was fundamentally like the Rid. Either way, we have the two extremes are very clear. Is it that it's Nepach, the Isra is Nepach Leheter, or you say, no, it's not Nepach Leheter, it's just Aslina Basaruba, which would allow you to eat one piece, but not to eat all three pieces. The first half Kamina, can one person eat them in one sitting? The Rosh says, yes, it's Nepach, the Rid says, certainly not. And then whether or not one person can eat them in separate sittings, you know, the issue the Rashba deals with, the Rashba holds it's Usser, and it could be fundamentally he agrees with the Rosh that it's really Mutter, it's just it's a Chomer Ba'alma, not to eat them in one sitting. Alternatively, maybe the Rashba holds like the Rid on some level, but you have to do some explaining to make that work out. Another Nafkamina. You have these three pieces of meat. One is treif, two are kosher. So now you want to cook them. So are you allowed to cook them? So the Rosh says yes. The Rosh writes, the same place, Zayin, Lam, and Zayin. Hilchach Nirez, Im Bishel Shloshem Ke'echar, or Bishel Im Chatichas Acheres, HaKol Mutter, since it's all Nepach Leheter, it's all Mutter, you can even cook them. From law, meaning the heat of cold man, shu yave, shu batel barov. We call him called Mishir Bibashlo, Nifla Tam of Oser, Zolmati, Davar Mutter, Lochel, Lechol, Shri Yet, Zira Oser. He says, what are you going to say? You're going to say, when you cook it now, it's like a Slach Balach, it requires Shishim, there's Nisir Tam. What do you mean? The Tam is kosher. This piece of Chaylev is kosher, Alpidin, because it was batel barov. Whereas, if you assume that it's based on Zlina Basaruba, so just like you can't eat them in one sitting, or you can't eat all three of them, like Tosis Rid. So too, you can't cook them, Bukhara, because if you cook them, you have Nesias Tam, and then you require a Shir of Shishim to Mevatel the Tam of the Treif piece. Third Nafkamina. There's a concept called Chozer V'Ner. What does that mean? So you have a situation where you had one piece of Treif meat and two pieces of kosher. It's all good, right? And then some Treif meat fell in. Two more pieces of Treif meat fell in. So do I say, or one piece fell in, another piece fell in? Do I say that now, look, at the end of the day, you have three pieces of treif and two kosher, so it should all be treif, right? Or do I say, no, once it was batel. Every time you put one in, it's batel. So the Ramah Paskins, issue in the Rishonim, the Ramah Paskins in Tzadik Tes Vav, that if you add more iser, this is in the Tarovis, it's with starev to the new iser, and it answers it. He writes, iser shenis batel, he gon shayah shishiv kinegdo. He's discussing various cases of, you know, shishim and rov, but for our purposes, you have a situation where you have one treif, two kosher. So if you add another treif or one and a half treif, you're going to answer. Now, Again, in that case, it wouldn't be necessarily a raya, meaning that was aser shel kulam. But the point would be, let's say you had, you know, six pieces of kosher and one treif. So now you have sach hakol seven. So even if you just add 6.5, let's say, or 5.5, you're going to have to figure out the math. But you understand what I'm saying? Okay, whatever. The case isn't really so critical. The point is, you say chos of an air. The isna, once bottle, now becomes reawakened, and it can retire to the isna. You add it to asr. Yes.
And maybe just the confusing things. I have this recollection of the rabbi having a radical position concerning. Does he hold there's just no chos of an air, or am I?
I'm not familiar. The Ramah passes the is chos of an air. The Shach argues. The Shach says, Ikra din, the Sifchat and Chafalif, and Simon Sadi Test. It's going way back, Simon Sadi Test. Sadi Test Chafalif, the Shach says, Ikra din, we wouldn't say Chos of an Eir by Yavish Yavish. He says, Kol Shanafa Lero of Heter, Nisbatal Ein Chos of an Eir. The other of Efshar Shagama Isser Mistaref Lahalos. Once the piece becomes Mutter, through Brittle, it can Mistaref, right, to Mevatal, the new Isser that comes in. That he Lamaisa the Shach says that he doesn't want to pass against the Ramah, especially because he's staying with Kula, so he's hesitant to pass against Lamaisa, except for a case of Hesem Meruba. But because he thinks of Yavish Yavish, you should say there's no Chos of an Eir. So in the court of this Nafkamina should be telling on our Chakira theoretically. We'll see in a second. It's not true, but theoretically you would say that if you say it's Napach. What's his napach? It's Heter Gomor, so it won't be Chos of an Eir. Whereas if it's Azlina Masaruba, the Isser is still there. If it's still there, you add more Isser, it's Mistaref, you'll the Eser. Now, the Shach points out that the Rosh himself, in the same Rosh, paskins explicitly that the concept of Chos of an Eir is true, even though he holds a napach. So this is what I mentioned before. Even though the Rosh holds that the Isser is not napach laheter, still, if you add more Isser, it'll reawaken the Isser. So what type of napach is this? So if you have a mystical Peshat, it's a little hard to understand. It's, you know, it would change to Heter, now change back to Isser. The way Rosenzweig explained the Rosh is that it's a formal halacha. We have to define the tarobis. So since we have Rov Heter, we'll define it as Heter. That's what Nepach means. It's not, you know, mystical. It's just defined as Heter. But then when you have more Isser added in, you'll redefine it. Never you can go back. That's his understanding, which I think would account for this discrepancy. Again, the Rosh brings lots of rise that you have to say Chos of an Eir. So because he holds you have to say it, you know, he doesn't have a way out. The question is, can you explain it? This is one suggestion. How to explain how the Rosh holds of Nepach, even though he holds of Chos of an Eir, is because the Nepach isn't mystical, but the Nepach is definitional in terms of, you know, drawing a circle around the Tarovas, saying this Tarovas is Mutter. So when you have more Isser added on, you can say this Tarovas is Asser, potentially. Another Nafkamina. What's the halacha for if a person says he doesn't want to be solich on rov? Two are kosher, one is treif. And there's two is kosher, one is treif, it's rov. But it's pasnit. I don't hold of this. So, okay, if you say you don't hold of the din of the Torah, that's, you know, it's maybe apikorsus. So a person says, you know, balnevish yachmer, I'd prefer to abstain from eating this mixture of yavish yavish echad betray. So the Piskachuva brings these stadim, and Simon Kuf Tes Zayin, Sivkatim Yod, the Piskachuva brings one opinion that a Balnevesh can be Machmir, and one opinion that it's also be Machmir. He writes the following: Imkein Mashma Daha B'Klisheni, let's say a Bishop of Klisheni, or B'Yeshishim, next situation with Shishim, he's not discussing Rov, but Elchara you might apply it to Rov as well. The Nifts of Feirish Ein Lachmir. You should be Machmir. If it's Motor, it's Motor. Heinrich Ein Chiyuv al Balnevesh Lachmir. All that means is that you're not Chayev to Machmir. It's a mitzvah. And then he continues, he says a few lines later, Shuv ra'isi b'shulam l'mincha k'alayin vav shekasa v'shem toras asham d'mishi rotz l'achmer l'inog isra b'davar shir l'metzinuch shekhmiru amurai k'gon mash nisfat v'shishim v'klisheni havi k'mar p'kursus v'yata z'char v'fseida to look at Moshe Chasav Isra v'heter. So we have Machlokas. Isra v'heter is saying that it's Bal Nefesh is allowed to and it's even mitzvah y'machmir. And the Torah Asham is saying that no, Mechatesi, it's Abikursus. So it's a pretty extreme Machlokas. Is it a mitzvah or is it an Avera? But it could be told in this here. If you hold like the Rosh, it's Nepach l'heter. So it's Nepach l'heter. So Mechatesi, you're going to say you're more from the Torah. Nepach l'heter. Whereas if you say it's Aslina Masaruba, the Isser is still here, just if it's constant of Rov, you might say, look, if the Isser is here, it's Mukhur Adavar, you know, Valdev Shachmir, potentially you could say that. It's not Mukhrach, but you could make that claim. Again, you could Mechal between Bittul Barov and Bittul Shishim. You'll have to see when you get to Shishim. But it's possible that even by Rov, these two Tzadim exist. It's actually a big discussion in Hasidus about this issue. You know, you have a little bit of Chaz, Shalini, Tzir, Shalind, so there's this concept of Nitzotzos, right? That the Kedusha, you know, after the Shvirus HaKelim, the Kedusha went all over. So it could be that this, piece of Chazer was predestined to be consumed by a Jew, to somehow be, to elevate it. So the B'nai Soscha writes in Chodesh Adar, Maimer Beis, Shekel HaKodesh, Jerush Zayin, that if something was disbattled, you should eat it. It was Ratzon Hashem to be Malin Nitzotzos. He writes, and he says, Chira and how things work, but he's saying that this is there's a milus to eat something else is bad. Well, it gets better because the Likutei Halachos, which was written by Rav Nosson of Breslov, has like a Shulchan Aruch parallel to the Shulchan Aruch. So they have in the Beis Medrash in Hilchos Taruvos Siman Aleph, he writes a similar thing. He says, "Kol Yisurim he mechinas osios nefilos." So the Isser represents Klipos. The Bittul is the complete Bittul of the Isser. So somehow the process of Bittul is Ma'ale the Isser. Okay, so these sources, I mean, touch on this question, whether or not eating something that was mevutal is a mitzvah or appropriate, or maybe there's a bal nefesh yachmir. It could be telling the chakira. Again, if you hold like the Rosh, it's nefach. What's it's nefach? Zuchara, there's no reason to be machmir. Whereas if you say that it's in the Zeruba, maybe then there may be a reason to abstain for a bal nefesh, potentially. Another nafkamina. We learned previously that there's a machlokas why demonstration material is not batal. Kayadua. Rashi and Beit of Gimel and Beit Zimras Kalapilu writes that Avakav the Vidurites Achad Betray batal. The Chesiv Achan Rav Lahatos. 1 and 2 is batal. 1 trafe is batal and 2 kosher. Achmur Abanan Hoav Yeshla Materian Lachar Zaman Loyachlenu Be'isr Alide Bittel. Don't eat it Be'isr Alide Bittel. That's the Rashi's understanding. But the Ran in the Darim and Beit Zimral famously writes that this halacha is based on a certain understanding of Bittul, which we'll discuss later soon, that Bittul works when you have a contrast between two things. You have the kosher and the treif, and there's a certain tension between them, and the kosher is gover and wins over the treif. Now, when you have Darshan Shematirim, since they're essentially heter by heter, since the Matirim will matir it, so heter and heter does not bittul. Okay, that's the understanding of the Ran. Now, the reason I think it's connected to Chakira is that, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Lama tochlo be'isser, tochlo be'heter. So it sounds like there's Isser here, right? If you hold that, like the Rosh, that Isser is nepach heter, it's nepach. So there's no Isser here. What do you mean, Lama tochlo be'isser, tochlo heter? Right now it's mutter, it's nepach. So I think Rashi fits better with Sosa's understanding. This is still here. It's just Aslina Masaruba. If you look at the Rosh, this is gone. So it's hard to explain the Rashi's understanding of don't eat it now, but yes, eat it tomorrow, but heter. It already is winter. It's Napa. Again, depending how you explain the Rosh, like I mentioned before, it could be the Rosh is more formal, then you might be able to explain that way as well here. Maybe, why draw the line around the Tarobas? Why define it that way? Because after all, there is Israel here. You could probably explain it like the Rosh, but I think the Pashas is that the Rashi fits better with the Rid. Now there are another two nafkamines I want to discuss. They're a little bit less mukhrach, but I think they're interesting. One of them is the shear. What's the shear of Bittul Barov? What drove? So if you would ask me, I would say Rov is 51%. But this is actually a machlokas. The Gemara in Chulin, Sadichetam Bey, speaks about Ruba. Ruba l'chor means Rov, 51%. But the Gemara in Gittin, in Dalan Bey, speaks about Chad Vitrei. We always speak about Chad Vitrei. Chad Vitrei is essentially 66%, right? It's two-thirds. So do you need 51% or do you need two-thirds? So some of the Parshim explained, they know it's Pashut, all you need is 51. It's just an expression. Chad Vitrei is an expression. The Pri Chadash and others explain that way. But there are Achronim who claim that no, really, you need 66%. Maybe some explain the Minchas Yaakov holds that Midrash 51 is enough, and Midrabbanan you always need 66, in order that you shouldn't make a mistake. 51 is very, very, tight. You know, maybe you'll make a mistake, so you need Midrabbanan 61%. There's actually a steer in the Rambam in this regard. The Rambam writes in the Chos Surah Tezvav Aleph that it's about the Merov, which would assume, 51. But Tezvav Dalet, he speaks about a case of Chelev Ha'alya, that's Kishnai Mechelev Ha'klayas. There's two thirds Chelev Ha'klayas and one third Chelev Ha'alya. Or vice versa. Tesvav Dalet. Again, Nafal Chelev Ha'klayas or Chelev Ha'alya, Venimo Chakol. You have Chelev Ha'alya, Kishnai, Chelev Ha'klayas, Hariyav Ha'mutr. Chelev Ha'klayas is Asr, Chelev Ha'alya is Mutr. So you have two thirds, again, Chad Betray. So the Parshim, wonder what does the Ram hold? The Ralbach assumes there's a difference between Yavesh and Yavesh. When Yavesh and Yavesh, you only need Rov, 51. But Chelev and Chelev, which he assumes is like Lach Balach, that would require, Chad Betray, 66%. Again, there's an interesting Chalm Sofer who relates this to the differences between Taruvus Lach Balach versus Yavesh and Yavesh, and how Bittul works in the two cases. Either way, for our purposes right now, this could be telling a chakira. If I hold that nefach, like the rush, so potentially to say nefach, you might need a higher threshold. Let's put the other way. If you hold something about the ruba, so ruba kol tarkul is 51%. But if you hold something different, it's nefach. So maybe you might need a greater amount to say nefach. Maybe it won't be nefach with 51, it might only be nefach with 66. It's not mukhrach, certainly, but I think it's an interesting issue that people aren't so aware of. There is a day out there, even the Rambam, that sounds like you need, chai betray, you really need 66%. And again, the issue of the relationship between lach balach versus yavish yavish is an important point, but we just won't discuss it right now. Another nafkamina that, again, is interesting and might be totally in the chakira, is a question of heter falling into Israel. Classic bittul, then you have one piece of treif, it fell into two pieces of kosher. Let's take the opposite case. Let's say I had two pieces of treif, and one kosher fell in. So what's the shaila? It's aser deis, it's pashut. The shaila just becomes, how much heter do you have to mix in to be matzah? Meaning, let's say you had two treif, one kosher, and then two more kosher fell in. So do I say that Sacha collects three kosher, two treif, you're good to go, kosher. Or they say, no, the heter that fell in, it became batel. The heter, again, draw a picture over here, the three pieces, this is kosher, this is kosher, and this is this is treif, this is treif, and this is kosher. Then you added two more. So if this is revutal, this kosher piece becomes treif, it's virtually treif, and then you wouldn't be kosher. The Tarumas now wouldn't be kosher. Whereas if, I don't know if this helps or hurts, but should I say it again?
Yeah, please.
I'll draw a picture. I was trying to make it more clear. You have three pieces. Three pieces aren't so hard to draw. Three pieces. This is a kosher piece. You have two treif pieces. So this Tarumas is kosher treif. Treif. Now, two more kosher pieces fell in. So how many kosher pieces do I have, sach hakol? I have three kosher pieces, and I have two treif pieces. So what do you think the status of the tarovus is? So if I say that, if I just look objectively, I say, look, three kosher, two treif, should be kosher. But if I say there was a bittul that happened here, when this one fell in, it became treif. So now, it's not in health that I have to add two more kosher pieces, I have to add three and a bit more kosher pieces in order to be matir. This is a machlokas maksimum farshim. Is there a bittul by heter into iser? Classic bittul is iser into heter. What about bittul by heter into iser? Can heter become usher? Yeah.
So
you don't have like chozer v'neir for
yeah. Right, so that's exactly the question. Do you say chozer v'neir? That's kind of the question. So it could be a function of chozer v'neir. I don't want to get into that's probably the question. But for our purposes, in order to link it to chakira, I want to analyze the rov, the understanding of rov. So first of all, just to get the facts on the ground, the Rabban of Adazara and Gimel of Adal has a discussion about this, and he writes that the heter does not become the Rabban of Adazara and Gimel of Adal. He says the heter does not become aser; it remains kosher, and therefore, if you add two more kosher pieces, it's all kosher. He writes the following: V'li niret the heter legoisura lav yishum rishon batel lo ashkan bitzol beheter lo ashkan bitzol beheter. There's no such thing as bitzol beheter. Bish ein adam osi levatlo el azra mosif ahu olav beholich. It sounds a little subjective. Ein adam osu levatel. A person doesn't want to levatel it, and therefore it doesn't to become aser. But the Ramban brings the Raya to argue. So it's a machlokes Rishonim. There's even a machlokes had a passing halacha in this issue. The Prima Gadim in the Psicha Tehilchos Taruvos Aleph Gimel, the Maskel of Ayin B'Shach, says we svara really it should be aser, that the heter should become aser. But he quotes the Minchas Kohen, who says that it's not nefach, and therefore he is misadid lahakil. So this is a discussion of halach, how to pass on this issue. But what's the nature of this debate? So why is it that Raman holds that this kosher piece doesn't become treif? Why does it remain kosher? Because it's basal. It's basal. It should become treif. So there's a big discussion about this. Different understandings. The Shai Yosher has one understanding. He claims that the concept of Bittul of Rov isn't objective. Bittul of Rov is really a function of your Ratzon. That's how he understands the Ramban. And he says that since most people don't want Isser, they want Heter, so if Isser falls in, they want it to be Batel, so it's Batel. But when Heter falls in, they don't want the Heter to be gone. They like Heter. They're hoping that more kosher meat will fall in and it'll be Mutter. He says, after Minat Torah, Mishar Yosher Gimel Yitzvav, after Minat Torah, Lamatzinu Chashivu Shamiut Na'akev Es Dina Bittul, the person doesn't care about Israel, he only likes the heter. Shavu miyud zeh ika harbe hishtamshus v'rov ika miyud hishtamshus. Achen v'chai gavna im yivatal heter v'rotzen v'chavana v'toch rov ha'isr hu batal. So he says it's all totally in the Bible. If you want it to happen, it'll happen. It's a very mechudosh understanding. There are other explanations for this Ramban. Why should it be? You could say that there's no chalosh shame of heter, meaning
character.
Pardon?
Meaning it's not a character.
Right, meaning there's heter and there's like non-heter. So you can't give the status of treif to something. It's just not kosher. And therefore, when the kosher piece is quote unquote batel, it can't become treif. You can't make it treif. Meaning, I didn't say it so clearly. Let me just. The Taras Chesed talks about it. He says like this, that Bittul somehow is a vassal of the mahus of an object. And it takes away its shame. So it can't grant a new name. Treif is a chol shem. I said it backwards. Treif is a chol shem. So it can make it not. It can't give it the status of treif. Like, for example, there's a famous discussion in the Chronim. About on a Yontov had this discussion. Let's say he had some strings of tzitzis, and some were done lishma, and some were done lishma. So most of them were done lishma. So there, most of them are kosher. So a few regular strings fell into your tzitzis, into your box of tzitzis strings. So did I say now they're all kosher, since they were batel? The ones that were done lishma are batel. So the on a Yontov says no. You can't give a status through bittel. So if treif is a status, you can't give the status of treif through bittel. So I don't say that all these strings now are kosher for tzitzis. I'll say, no, I have one string here that's not kosher for tzitzis, and just because most of the strings are kosher for tzitzis doesn't make them all lishma, because lishma is a status. So treif is a status, and I can't create the status of treif. That's
Bittul removes the status, it doesn't
matter. Bittul removes, it can't create. That's the one understanding. The Shai Yosher is a different understanding. Shai Yosher's understanding is that it's really totally in the Das Beilin. It's very subjective. And since most people want Heter, so Isser is Bittul and Heter. Because you want the Tzon to be Mutter, so if one piece tray falls in, so if you, since you want it to be Mutter, it's Mutter. So when the opposite happens, when kosher falls in the tray, if you want the kosher to remain, and therefore it won't, all things being equal, and therefore in most cases it won't be a batel. Now according to Shai Yosher, you could be told this on Rav Hakira. Namely, if bittul works through the concept of zina basa ruba, so it's hard to say that the bittul of a taroves is telling that's bailin, because the zina basa ruba is a concept we haven't called harkula. Right? If you say like the rosh is in a napach, they might say it's only napach when you want. What Shai Yosher holds that it's only napach is only the only bittul when you want it, and usually you want it when Isser falls into Heter. Usually you don't want it when Heter falls into Isser. So then I can say, well, if it's napach, maybe it won't be napach if I don't want it. Again, it's not so mukhach, but you could say that. If it's a zina basa ruba, it's very hard to justify what Shai Yosher says. Kitzur, what Shai Yosher says is very mukhodesh. I think it's easier to justify it according to the understanding. It's a zina basa ruba. Then it's totally objective. Rather, it's easier to justify it according to the rosh, where it's napach. That might be subjective, potential. So these last enough minutes, I think, are interesting discussions. They're not so mukhach in terms of our chakira. The chakira, I think, is very clear. What I want to discuss now is the mechanics, if you will, of Nepach. And we spoke about the Russian understanding that it's a heter, it's Nepach, the Isser is Nepach, the heter. What does that mean? How does that really work? So here, there are two understandings. You could say that Bittul Barov tells me that I can ignore the meat. I have three pieces of meat. Two are kosher, one is trace. I can ignore the meat. Alternatively, you might say that no. There's a conflict here. There's a conflict in the Rov Hatter and the meat. Is there in the meat? Is there someone who's Gover on the Rov Hatter's Gover on the meat? Is there? And this is what the Ran in Darim writes explicitly, Nafman Beza with Aleph. The Ran writes, the first afkamina is min be mino lo batel. Why is min be mino lo batel? So as I mentioned before, the Ran claims that you only have bittul when there's conflict between two forces, heter and isser. The Ran explains that according to Yehuda, min be mino is not batel because there's no conflict. I read the Lashon and Ksavar of Yehuda, the Hainu Taima Mishum, the min be mino lo batel, fisha kol davar shuv domil chavero, inu machlisho mevatlo. For bittul to take effect, according to the Ran, you need a conflict. Now, the Rishonim explained to Yehuda in other ways, probably argue in the Ran's understanding of bittul. They think that bittul isn't a function of conflict, between the heter and the isser. Bittul maybe works because you ignore the isser. If you have heter, you can think about the heter and ignore the isser. So that's again one nafkamina to how bittul works. Does bittul work because you can ignore the miut, or does bittul work because the rove somehow tackles and conquers the miut? Nafkamina being how to explain miut mino. If you learn like the Ran that miut mino is labatel for Yehuda because there's no conflict, so then you understand bittul to be based on conflict. Whereas if you have a different understanding of Yehuda, you might say bittul is not based on a clash between the heter and the isser. Bittul is just based on the fact that you can ignore the isser. Again, so the chakira is bittul based on ignoring, or is bittul based on the conflict and the conquering of the rov to the mi'ut? So this first afkamina was, how do I understand minu minu labat? Second afkamina. What about heter beheter? Do you ever have a bittul of heter beheter? You may ask, why in the world would you care if heter beheter is batel? So there are afkaminas. The Mishnah Kilayim, in fact, Mishnah Aleph speaks about a mixture of wool. We know that Kilayim, Kilei Begadim, of course, is the mixture of wool and linen. What type of wool? So it's wool from Rechelin, wool from sheep. But wool from Gemalim, let's say you have wool from a camel, that does not create shinus. You can have a wool and linen garment if the wool is from a Gemalim. Now, let's say you have a mixture of wool of Rechelin and wool of Gemalim. So you have two types of wool that were mixed together. So as I say, since robe is Semer Gamalim, now it's mutter to make a garment with this wool and linen. Because most of this wool is Semer Gamalim and not Semer Rechelim. So the Ran has a truth about this in Simin Nun Zayin. And he says that there is a concept of Bittul Hatzer V'Hatzer, and therefore, you know, he writes that, you know, practical example, let's say you want to grind some wheat before Pesach. And some of the kernels of wheat are chametz. They broke open and they became chametz. And some of the kernels of wheat are regular kernels that you're going to make matzah from. So it's hetzer behetzer, and there's bittul hetzer behetzer. Okay. But based on the Ran and the Darim, it seems to be a seer in the Ran and the Truba says explicitly there's bittul hetzer behetzer. But the Ran and the Darim understands that even Chachamim fundamentally agree with Yehuda that the way bittul works is there's a hitnagshut, there's a conflict, and a reality where the robe is somehow beating the miut. And therefore, as such, there shouldn't be any bittul hetzer behetzer. Because if there's semer rechelim and semer gemalim, there's no conflict between these two things. They're both mutter. So therefore, I can't take this wool and make a garment with pishtan, even though it's only, 2% or 1%, semer rechelim. Because at the end of the day, the semer rechelim was never bought out with the semer gemalim. Because it's hetzer behetzer, there's no conflict, and therefore there's us. Now, of course, this is a Mishnah, so you have to explain it. The question is how that works. So there's a Marach Zaru and Simin Zayin who explains that maybe there is a conflict between Tzemer Rechelim and Tzemer Pishti, because since the concept of Shanis exists, so every time you look at Tzemer, I guess if you're a halachic person, you see Tzemer, and you right away ask yourself, can you make this Tzemer into a garment with Pishti? So even if there's only Tzemer Rechelim and Tzemer Gemalim, there's no Pishti, this already is a shame bittul then. There already is this conflict between the two types of tzemer, because we're already thinking about the possibility of shanis. So I'm not so clear on that, but any question?
Isn't there no bittul with
kilayim? No, there's no bittul by kilayim, but we're talking about before it becomes kilayim. We want to know if it does this tzemer, is it this tzemer considered tzemer rechelim? Or is it Semer Gemalim? If it's Semer Gemalim, there's no kilayim with Semer Gemalim and Pishtan. So because when you have any amount of Semer Pishtan, Semer Rechelim, so let's say it's 1% of this Tarokas. So because I'm thinking of the world of Shanes, even though it's not here in the Tarokas, again, I'm not sure how to explain it.
I'm saying if you assume the reason there's no Bittul is because it's Heter Beheter, then
you're saying the whole reason that there's a tosis like this, a nida, right? That the reason, maybe the concept of bittul beheter beheter is just totally different. So therefore, I have to figure this out. I'm not sure how to get it. It's also steering around. But this is totally an achakira. Namely, if you hold that bittul works based on ignoring, so ignore it. Who cares if it's heter beheter, it's heter beheter? Ignore what's insignificant. Whereas if you hold that bittul works based on a conflict, if you have heter v'heter, it could be you don't have a conflict, and therefore there's no bittul. Another nafka mina to this question is the famous Mordechai in Chulin, Tavshin Lamed Zayin. Mordechai discusses a case discussed in the Gemara, of a woman who is doing chalitza. When you do chalitza, the woman has to spit saliva as part of the process. And the Gemara has a question: if a woman spat up blood, is that considered, is that sufficient? And the Gemara says, efshar be, dam below tichsuche rikika, something like that. There's always some saliva in the blood, which is true. You can spit up phlegm, whatever you spit up, there'll be some, saliva there. So that's sufficient. So ask the Rishonim, maybe it's batel. If you have, 51% blood and only 49% saliva, so then you haven't satisfied the requirement of the saliva, of the rikika. So the Mordechai in Chulin Tavshin Lamed Zayin explains, "Lekal levei bittul v'rov el b'davar shayin nikar b'fnei atzmo tchila v'achach nisarif aval davar shetchila s'bi'os l'olam urav." If it comes into the world together, lekal levei mer debata. You're not going to say there's bittul by that. So the saliva and the blood came out of the woman at one time. So we can't say the blood's going to vassal the saliva, even though it's 51% blood. We're not going to say that the blood is batel. Is mevatel the saliva.
That's really
right. You could make a claim the opposite. That's what the Mordechai says.
Independent shame, really. That's wild.
So it could be done on a chakira, namely, if you say it's a question of ignoring, so you could ignore the miyut, regardless of if it came to get at one time or not. But if you say it's a function of a clash, it could be there's no clash if it was created at one time. The clash comes from a subsequent accident. You had a kosher pot, and some tray fell in, so now you have a clash. If it was created at one time, maybe there's no internal clash. Yeah, there actually, to Bedel's point, there seems to be a steer in this Mordechai, because by demonstration of the theorem, the Ramah and Kuf Beis Dalit Paskins, based on a different Mordechai, that if the Isser wasn't Nikar before it was Nisarev, so then the demonstration of the theorem is Batel. Even though the demonstration of the theorem is not Batel, if it wasn't Nikar, then it is Batel. So here, exactly. So here you see that not being Nikar is more of a tzav l'hakel, more of a tzav to say it is batel. And in this Mordechai, it's more of a tzav l'hachmish. So they ask to see in the Mordechai. Nun Yehuda discusses this. In it's true with Tinyani Yerdea, Nun Dalid, he discusses this, and he tries to distinguish between the cases. But anyway, I think this might be a Talin Achakira. I just want to conclude with the possibility that maybe there's a difference between a terubis of lach v'lach and yavish yavish. We discussed today terubis of yavish v'yavish. B'zad Hashem, in the future we'll discuss lach v'lach. But potentially you might say that there's a difference in the way in which terubis of lach v'lach versus yavish v'yavish works. Namely, maybe that by a terubis of yavish v'yavish, the miyot, you ignore it. You essentially ignore it. Whereas by lach b'lach, the miyot is batel to the rov, right? It's totally it's overcome by the rov. And Rav Chanan discusses this in his Kovas Aras Sivin Samach Otei. We can't really get into it fully because really requires, you know, lach b'lach. But potentially you could look in the way Bittul works by lach b'lach and yavish b'yavish, something that came up. So what we discussed here today was yavish b'yavish, Bittul b'rov. We raised the chakira, is it azlin b'zeruba or is it nepach? And we discussed various nafkaminas to that question. And then we discussed the second question, what are the mechanics of Bittul? Is it that you ignore the miyut or is it the miyut is overcome by the rov? And we discussed nafkaminas to that question as well. Okay.